And what has happened in San Diego? Welcome in to Gwen and Chris. It is finally a Friday. It is a Friar Friday, and we're happy to be with you. A beautiful day in America's finest city, and for the next 3.5 hours or so, we're going to be hanging out, talking some sports with you. We've got some great news to kick off the show, and we'll get into that shortly. But Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where tonight the Padres will take on the New York Mets, game two of a 4-game series. Mr. Scraby is alongside, so the gang's all here. I thought yesterday, want to once again thank Tony Gonzalez, our sales guy, for setting us up, and Jeff Hamby and the promotion people, and everybody, Adam Klug, everybody who had us out and about yesterday. Scraby, it was fun seeing the people at Casa Octavio. Had a good crowd. I was really, you know, really enjoyed just being out there, getting some fresh air, and the excitement of the ticket winners, especially the last couple there was sitting over to our right. I don't remember their names.
Drew and Lily.
They showed up at about, I don't know, about 4:30.
Yeah.
Got their name into the hopper, and then at 5 o'clock, they won the tickets to the Padre game. And just to see the look on their faces.
I think she went,
made it
yes!
worth it. Made it worth it. Made it worth it. I mean, it was just fun to have everybody out there. We hope everybody had a good time. We certainly did. We missed our partner, Tony Gwynn, out there yesterday, but he's in the booth, where tonight he will call a game two of this series. We'll talk about the Padres and the Mets, but first we got to start with you, Darvish, Tony. This is, you know, really, really excellent news. Padres announcing that Yu Darvish has been reinstated from the restricted list. He will go to the 15-day IL. He will rejoin the team today. There will be a Yu Darvish kind of an impromptu dugout press conference. It's coming up at 3:45 this afternoon. We will let you in on it as soon as we can get the sound and everything turned around. So you will hear, you know, that Yu Darvish press conference, maybe at 4 o'clock, but right around there today, you'll hear everything that Yu has to say. But, Tony, there's a couple things. Number one, it's great for the Padres. I mean, Yu Darvish is a great pitcher. But beyond that, and I think more importantly, is the fact that whatever he has gone through, and maybe he'll touch on some of that today, maybe he won't, but whatever he has gone through, he feels like he's in a good enough place now where he can return to baseball. And I that's, to me, is the highlight of this.
Yeah, yes, I think that's what you hope. You hope that he's coming back because he feels like he's in a good place to come back and play baseball. And certainly anytime you get a guy of his caliber coming back to your team, it's a boost. And so how long it's, you know, it will be before we see him on the mound, I'm sure. A lot of this information will start to become more clear as we hear from Mike Shildt and Yu Darvish. But certainly getting him back. I mean, you started to hear that there was a possibility he could be back by the end of the month. But to see the news pop up on the phone today, it's, you know, you can't help but be a little bit excited about it. I think you're kind of reserving a little bit to wait to hear from him to see where he's at from a mental standpoint and a physical standpoint, but there's no other way you could really couch this other than it's great news for the San Diego Padres.
It's good all the way around. I mean, you just had a trade deadline 3 weeks ago, and, you know, everybody tried to add to their team. Well, guess what? The Padres just added to their team and didn't have to give up a thing. They added one of the, you know, most reliable number one starters in all of baseball in Yu Darvish. So that it's huge for the Padres going forward. But as I said, today I personally focus more on the personal with Yu Darvish. I'm looking forward to hearing him, you know, today. And he'll share what he wants to share, I'm sure. But as Tony said, you know, you got to believe and you hope that, you know, he feels like he's in a good place to return to playing baseball right now. And that is a thumbs up for sure. The Padres, go ahead, Tony. Do you want to tack on?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Scraby, did you interrupt me?
I didn't.
Well, you are pretty good.
Yesterday, you almost punched me in the face for interrupting.
Almost
you.
Punched you in the face.
Yeah.
First of all, that is such an exaggeration. You guys do realize you were on camera when that happened, and there was no, like, attempt to punch you in the face.
I don't even believe I can ball my hand.
And he had glasses on, didn't he?
Yes, he did have glasses on.
So how could you have known that when his face looked
like? Dark glasses on.
Well, I could just feel it.
No, you can't feel
that. I feared for my life.
Can you feel me backstage?
Now I can. I've been looking out the whole time.
Get him on the air. Will
oh, wait,
you,
hold
please?
On. Before people freak out, I need to mute Tony's box. There we go.
Whoa. Thank you.
You have to what?
Okay, move on, Chris.
All right, I'll try to do that.
Move on.
I have to. I'm not going to comment
on
that.
You just made Tony fall out of his chair.
I'm not even going to comment on what you said there.
I'm not kidding.
All right, so you, Darvish, is back. Jason Adam will be our Friar Friday guest. We are excited by that. The 33-year-old right-hander. Acquired by the Padres at the trade deadline, will be joining us in about 15 minutes. So we'll talk with Jason Adam, part of this lockdown of Padres bullpen. But having said all that, Tony, yes, indeed, the Padres did lose yesterday 8-3 to the New York Mets. The Mets had 17 hits in this game. It was a little bit like death by paper cut. They gave up, they got five doubles and 13 singles. It was just, or 12 singles. It was incredible. Everything they hit fell in yesterday, and they broke it open with a five-run ninth inning. You put that on top of the game the day before. The Twins had 18 hits. And all of a sudden, the Padres have given up, you know, crazy numbers, 19 runs and 35 hits in the last two games. But, Tony, before I came in today, I looked up, I checked the sky, it is still there. It has not fallen yet on the Padres, despite, I'm sure, people starting to think it is.
I'm still recovering from
me too.
The
me, too. Me too. Me too. So is the chat. So is the chat.
In regards to the baseball game,
come on, guys, you got to keep it up here. Yeah, it's not easy.
The Mets. They were on the attack early.
They were.
They were, and it didn't matter whether it was a specific pitch. They hit anything in the zone. I think at one point. Dylan had thrown 26 strikes, and they had swung at 24. So the game plan was he's going to be in the zone, be on the attack. And that's certainly what they were. And as you said, everything was falling. They were, whether it was Lindor hit a slider that was down. Like, it was actually not a bad pitch, hooked it for a double. I saw there was another one later on, another slider down that was hammered. They just swung the bat well yesterday. And, you know, even with that being said, it was a 3-1 game until the ninth. The Padres were in it. They had some opportunities early. Double plays were not their friend once again in this ball game.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a bases loaded. I think they got one run. On the flip side of that, the Mets got bases loaded, and I think they got five. And so, you know, that's something the Padres have really – it's hard to complain about because for most part all season long when they've had opportunities, they've cashed them in, or if you've made a mistake, they make you pay. Last two games, it hasn't gotten their way from that standpoint.
I'll tell you, their version of Donovan Solano is the veteran Jose Iglesias, and I thought he made all of the plays last night to win this game for the Mets. He had the double that bounced over and set up the two runs that the Mets scored to make it 3-0 in the fourth inning. But more importantly than that, Tony, he stabbed that shot with the bases loaded there. And turned it into a double play. That's a hell of a play.
By the way, that was the
sixth. That skips past. It's two runs, and who knows what the Padres are often doing. So
that's the second. That was the second hardest hit baseball in all of baseball yesterday.
Really?
Second hardest, and it ended in a double play.
Yeah,
the funny thing is, you know, the kind of knock on Iglesias now, because he's always just had like just silky smooth hands. Like,
I heard you guys say that last night.
He's all. The knock on him is that he doesn't have very much range. And the interesting thing was, I think every single ball that was hit to him yesterday, he was placed in the exact spot. Like, he didn't have to move. Even on the ball that was hit 110 off the bat of Cronenworth, he just, like, opened up to his left to catch it and then turned to double play. He didn't have to move very much at all. And, you know, for a guy who may be lacking the range that he used to have, It just goes to show you the defensive alignments now are so good. I mean, they're literally putting you in the best possible spot to make plays. That was a good example of usually, you know, plays like that, somebody's had to, like, go range to their left, range to their right. He literally had balls just right at him, turning double plays.
Yeah.
And just didn't go to Padres' way really the last two nights. We'll see if they can get back on track. Joe Musgrove on the mound here today.
I have
Grave
guy's
hand up.
Yes, yes. Because there was a comment on the chat that I wanted to ask you guys about, and I don't know why I felt this way, but any possibility that Cease is tipping his pitches with how they were swinging so early in the count? I don't know. I'm just asking you
I doubt it. There's nothing Cease was doing. And listen, there's always a chance he's tipping pitches, but sometimes he was just too in the zone yesterday, and they were on it. Usually you're tipping one thing. You're not tipping everything. They were hitting fastballs, slider, the knuckle curve got hit at one time. Maybe in a couple of days from now we'll hear something from, you know, Dylan or Ruben saying that might have been the case. But as of now, I don't think so. That was just one of those days.
I don't see that.
Remember the last time the Mets faced him in New York? That was his worst start, I think, of the year.
It was
in that point. So
yeah,
he gave up
seven runs to them in the first meeting in New York. We're going to get to a break because I know Jason Adam is coming up. I just wanted to say this. You know, something was crazy last night. I give the Mets all the credit. But you're right, Tony. Cease's location could not have been what it usually is. And the reason I say this, he had a five-start stretch this year. Five starts. He allowed a total of six hits. Last night, he gave up nine hits. Dylan Cease. That's the most he's given up in a game all year, tied with one earlier. But I give the Mets a lot of credit. I mean, Lindor jumped on that one, double. Vientos, line drive, double. It was 1-0, just like that. And you're right, they were on the attack, and it worked.
Yeah, that's a good example. Like Lindor, good hitting. Vientos was a hanging slider. It was like right in the middle of the plate. He was lucky that it was just a double from that standpoint. You know, so the knuckle curve later in the game. Those are pitches that, you know, at this level, no matter who you are, if you're making mistakes in that part of the zone, you're generally going to get hit.
But I want to also say that when you give up 17 hits in a game, it's pretty rare that all 17 of those stay in the ballpark. They all had to find an opening somewhere, and last night they all did. So
to my recollection, it was only the ground rule double that was close to being a homer.
That's right. Yeah, everything was in the yard last night. All right, so the Mets get the first game. Padres will try to come back tonight. Joe Musgrove, as mentioned, will be pitching for the Padres. When we come back, we will be jumping in with pitcher Jason Adam. He's our Friar Friday guest. We're looking forward to meeting him. It's his first visit to our program since being acquired at the trade deadline. That and a whole lot more of Gwynn and Chris is ahead on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's jump right into it. 2:20 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. It is indeed Friar Friday. Scraby, I do notice that the colors, maybe it's my old computer, on the left side, Gwynn and Chris, it looks a little different color red than the 97.3 part on the right side. Is that just me, my computer?
No, it's kind of like a gradient is what they call it.
Gradient.
Yes.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Thank you. I'm sure that our guest loves this.
It is a Friar Friday, though. We do have, it's a Friday because we got the Friar Friday colors
on the
screen.
So let's get to our Friar Friday guest, Padre reliever. Excuse me. Jason Adam joins us here on Gwynn and Chris. Jason, welcome to the show, man. Welcome to San Diego. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great, man. It's been great being in San Diego.
You've been great since putting on this Padre uniform. I mean, you're having a tremendous year. I guess I'll start with, obviously, in Tampa, when you're in that organization, anything can happen in terms of trades or things like that. At what point did it start to become apparent to you, or was it ever apparent to you that you could be on the move headed somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's, like you said, with Tampa, that's just the reality of their model over there. Is there's a lot of turnover. So I knew it was a possibility. And then I think as I mean, everyone over there would admit that that first half of the year we didn't play like we thought we should. And so anytime there's a chance for a front office to build for the future when it doesn't look like things are going their way this year, you know that it's going to happen. It could happen. And you also know as a reliever, it's always on the table. So, yeah, I was prepared. I didn't know where or if, but certainly knew it was a possibility.
Jason Adam, great addition to the Padres, and we're happy to have him on here, Gwynn and Chris. And you talked about being traded. You know, you've gone from Kansas City. You've gone to Minnesota. You've gone to Chicago. You've gone to Tampa Bay, whatever. Does it ever get any easier? And how is best to prepare for being traded? And also, I think a lot of guys, they get to a new place. It's not easy to settle in. You don't have a place to live all set up yet. Yet you still got to go out and do your job every night. Have you kind of gotten better at that as these situations have come up?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. We've come up with new strategies. It's the baseball aspect is like, it's excitement. Hey, I'm going to a team. We're pushing for the playoffs and deep into the playoffs. So that's exciting. But the life aspect, obviously, is there's some moving pieces. But we've kind of just settled, my wife and I mean, we got four little kids, so it's not easy. But we're like, we're just, any chance we can, we're just going to rip the Band-Aid off. We're going to all roll together and make it home. So wherever we're at, we assume we're going to be there forever until we're told otherwise. Because if you're just sitting there, you know, on the edge of your seat, like, how much longer? It's miserable. So we just go out there and we assume. So now I'm assuming I'm a Padre for life until they tell me otherwise.
Great perspective to have in a business like this where it's completely out of your control. Jason Adam joins us here, Padre reliever. And Jason, I look at your career arc, man. It started in Kansas City. You went through Toronto and Chicago, as Chris mentioned, but you really started to settle in those last couple of years in Tampa. What was it that changed for you? What has helped you get into this great groove you've been on over the last 2.5 seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I owe so much of my career to like Kyle Snyder, the Rays. They just helped simplify things for me. I think as a reliever, a pitcher, you can overthink and tinker and worry so much about nibbling and avoiding bats. When I went over there, I'm like, they got to have some like crazy new thing for me. And all it was, hey, your stuff is good. The problem you have is you fall behind guys. So we're just going to set up the catcher down the middle and we're going to let you miss to the edges. And even if you go down the middle, odds are still in your favor. And so it was that simple of a process of like, hey, we're going to get you ahead of batters and then you can start expanding, trying to strike guys out. And obviously there's some intricacy to it with the mechanics and pitch grips and all that, but overall it was buying in to throwing strike one, throwing strike two, and then taking the next four pitches to try to get the guy out.
Jason, I'm looking at your page here, and you're drafted right out of high school from Omaha, Nebraska. I imagine Peyton Manning is either your favorite quarterback or not your favorite quarterback, depending on how you look at it with his yelling of Omaha. But you're drafted out of high school 2010, and then you make your major league debut 2018. Take us through that 8 years. That's a long time to try to keep your dream alive, and congrats, for getting it done. I mean, that's a lot of stick-to-itiveness, I imagine.
Thank you. Yeah, it was certainly not the path I had envisioned. It was, you come out of high school, went to high school in Kansas City, and then was drafted by Kansas City, so I felt like I was big stuff. And I just, I couldn't quite put it together. I was a starter at the time, and I just would have good stretches and bad stretches. But I was still, a quote prospect, if you would. And then ended up got traded to the Twins and had a stress fracture in my arm that cost me the next 3 years. So all of 2015,
wow.
All of 2016, and then until mid-August of 2017. And that obviously put a screeching halt to the career. And that was with the 2017 was with the Padres minor league. And I tell people it stunk at the time, obviously not what I wanted, but I wouldn't trade it for 3 years in the big leagues. It was so good for my soul. You know, I was obsessed with worship baseball, and I was like my line in the truth is, I was like, baseball is an awesome game, but it's a terrible God. So you got to like, kind of take it off that pedestal a little bit.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't trade it. But yeah, and then so I got released by the Padres August the 17th, signed back with Kansas City, and then debuted May of 2018.
Wow. What a journey. You mentioned the mechanics and the intricacies. I'm interested to know because we've kind of seen this in the last – 6-7 years really become a thing, kind of that short. You don't really have the traditional long arm kind of through the baseball. It's kind of like pulling it back by the ear, letting it go. Have you always thrown the baseball that way, or is that something that you've kind of readjusted to?
No, that was totally new in 2017. So, because I kept having these surgeries and not being able to recover. So I'm like, I'm just going to try something new. And Garvin was I forget his last name, but he was a pitching coach, rehab pitching coach for the Padres at the time. I was like, can I do this? And he was like, yeah, man, well, like, try anything. And I just kind of started. I'd put the ball by my ear and step and throw. And I was like, well, that doesn't hurt. And I took it out to like 120 feet. I'm like, well, it still doesn't hurt. And then, you know, so I'm long tossing, still doesn't hurt. And then, I got to bullpens. I'm like, well, how do I even come set? So at that time, I just kept my ball by my ear, and I just put my glove over it. And I was like, well, that doesn't hurt, and everything was fine. So it was literally just a survival tactic, and it worked. I think it actually makes my stuff play up a little bit. And but, yeah, it was totally just like, hey, I got to find a way to throw that doesn't hurt, or else I'm going to be – working a 9-to-5, or I still might be working a 9-to-5 if no one gives me a job.
Tony took my question, and he probably took everybody's question, because I think everybody who sees you pitch sees that, you know, your delivery is a little different, and that's so ironic that it's because of an injury, you know, that forced you to throw the way you do, and now I think it is really effective for you because, you know, I wonder if batters are comfortable. You know, you're used to the ball being delivered a little differently right now. How confident are you right at this point? I mean, you've come here to San Diego and you've started to hit the ground running. When confidence is high like this, I imagine you can't wait for your name to be called.
Yeah, you want to throw every night. That just is. Even when things aren't going, like if you have a bad one, you want to get – that's what I love about being a reliever. You can pop right back out there the next day. You don't have to sit on it for 5 days. So, yeah, but I feel very confident. It's been great. Ruben's been fantastic. You know, and just taking all the things I learned with Tampa and then growing, like a whole nother perspective. And our catchers work so hard with their game plan, so I have so much confidence in them. It's like it's a great situation to be going into. And try to just focus on the process, you know. I can throw terrible pitches and get good results, and you can throw really good pitches and get bad results. So over time, the good pitches will play out. So I try to focus on that and try to repeat the good ones as often as possible.
Jason, you've been a terrific interview thus far. I got one last question for you, and I can probably guess that a lot of hitters aren't seeing the baseball that well because it's pretty much hidden until all of a sudden it's on you. I got to ask, because you mentioned Kyle Snyder and Tampa, and everybody raves about Ruben here. I mean, I assume that there's some differences. Obviously, they probably see the game different in some elements, but what are some of the characteristics that both of them have that make them so renowned around this game?
Yeah, I know. I was so nervous about getting traded because I'm like, I feel like I have one of the best pitching coaches in the game. And then Snyder told me where I was going, and he's like, you're going to the best pitch. You know, like he was so complimentary of Ruben. I'm like, well, I'm spoiled. But yeah, I think their similarities are how well they read us players, you know, and they give each individual, they can read an individual and see what you need, you know.
Yeah.
Some guys want all the details, some don't. Some guys need to be like, fluffed up with like tons of like compliments, and some guys need to be told they stink, you know. I think they're just so, and they care. I mean, you can tell like as much as they probably don't want to, they take it home with them. Like they care about each of us like their children almost, I would assume. And you can just, and if they don't, they certainly act like it. They fooled me. No, that you can just tell how much they care and they're poor. And when someone cares that much for you, it just makes you want to go out there and do great.
It really indeed is the magic potion when it comes to coaching up ball players. Jason, man, thank you for coming on, spending some time with us, man. Continued success. You seem to be rolling. Good luck the rest of the way and continued health.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
Jason Adam, Padres reliever, whether it's the 6th, 7th, 8th, this guy has been, I mean, literally given up nothing so far. He's
nothing.
Been such a great addition to this bullpen and a fantastic interview, I
That
might
was really
add.
Good. Really intriguing and interesting and, you know, ironic that the guy had this injury, took him out for 3 years. I mean, people, if you get stopped in what you want to do in your life for 3 years, are you staying with it? That is not easy to do.
I've seen it fold many of players, like just completely sap them of any confidence or any want to. But he said it. His saying, you know, baseball is a great game, but it's not a good God. And so basically kind of taking it off of that pedestal of being his everything has allowed him to enjoy the game. And believe it or not, that is when I would bet a high percentage of players turn the corner, is when they can get through the fact that it is not the end-all, be-all for you. Is usually when guys start to play their best baseball. That's been in my experience, at least.
Did you see what the chat wanted to ask him, Tony?
No, I did not. Oh. I can't see the chat.
All right, well, good. The chat only wanted us to ask him about the fact that he is the A in the ASS finish of the Padre bullpen.
Yes.
That's what they wanted to know. What he thought of being part of that.
I guarantee you he has no idea.
I guarantee you he has no idea either. But I do think it's
so
I
just wanted to know that question,
I want everybody to know
that. He would have thought, who are these two weirdos asking this question?
Exactly.
I think you know who started that charge in the chat? Our boss.
That's not a surprise. Not a surprise at all.
I told Chris during it, I was like, hey, Chris, the chat wants you to ask about the name that they called it. No. He just put on his headphones.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
All right. I'm glad the chat's mind is in the right place.
It'd be different if Jason was rolling into our show and he was reading the chat every day and he understood where it was coming from.
Yeah.
It would have come out of, like, absolute left field to ask him that.
Yeah, we didn't want to ruin the nice idea.
Let's just say we probably would stop getting really good guests at that point.
Yes. Yeah. Jason would pass around to the rest of the people in the clubhouse. Don't talk to these crazy lunatics.
All right, let's get to break. On the other side, maybe a little Mike Shield, a little Ben and Woods this morning. Didn't get a chance to hear it. Tune in. We have it up next. I'm going to Chris.
Oh, that's me.
All right, big thanks to Jason Adam. Doing a good job on our Friar Friday interview. Really, you know, a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, this guy is really, I mean, drafted in 2010, major leagues in 2018. I don't know a lot of guys that have had an 8-year run before they even get a taste of the big leagues. And now that he's had it, he's not giving it up. And he appreciates it every time he goes out there. He has been great for the Padres. We appreciate him coming on our Friar Friday interview. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park.
I have my hand up like Scraby.
Yes, I heard you did, and I was going to.
You heard his hand going up?
No, you told me he was going to put his hand up. So, okay. Tony, let's acknowledge you.
Oh, this is something different.
Oh,
you Darvish, full uni.
Oh,
looks like he got his he about to do some things. I would imagine he's in a full uniform. He's about to throw or something.
Picture day too.
Are we? If you're just tuned in, by the way, Yu Darvish has been activated off the restricted list. Yeah. This is the big news.
He's now on the 15-day IL.
He's on the IL now. So that honestly doesn't mean he can't pitch for 2 weeks.
No, it does not. He's it's retroactive. I'm sure.
Okay. So what people may ask is, could we see him honestly even pitching Monday in St. Louis? Because that's an open spot right now. Or is that a pipe dream?
I would doubt it.
Yeah, I would too.
I wouldn't say absolutely not, but I would doubt it. I would think that they want him to kind of see some hitters.
Yeah.
Maybe get a rehab start, couple of them, I would think.
Agreed.
Just a guess.
Agreed. Yes. What is it?
Just to kind of give you guys the behind the curtain. Sometimes as broadcasters or co-hosts or hosts, you have to be able to think fast on your feet. As I was bringing Jason Adam on, I blanked. I couldn't remember his name for a sec.
And oh, so, no.
That's a terrible feeling.
That is. So you guys might have heard like a cough and scraby laugh at me as I was like seemingly choking on my own spit. that was just a ploy to buy time to remember the name.
Oh, my goodness. That's a...
You know,
a tough feeling.
Right? Okay. I've
been there. I have it. Hold on.
Let's hear how he sounded.
Okay. It might be. Okay, here we go.
Let's get to our Friar Friday guest, Padre reliever. Oh, excuse me. Jason Adam joins us.
Good.
Excuse me.
Tony, you are a. Man, that puts you into veteran status right there.
Padre reliever.
That puts you into veteran status.
Jason Adam.
I like how he goes, oh, no.
Very good. I'm sure I told you guys the time that I was doing an update at the old 690, and we used to print out each story on a separate piece of paper, and that day the Aztecs hired Fred Trenkel as their new men's basketball coach. And I had it on one of my sheets, but I decided I wasn't going to use it in that particular update. So I went into the studio. I didn't have the sheet with me. Anyway, I finished my update just a few seconds early, so I thought, okay, I'll throw it in just so the people can get this information. And I said, and one more thing, the San Diego State Aztecs today hired... And I totally forgot his name.
Oh, no.
And I didn't have the sheet. I had no way to come up with his name. And I was already halfway into the sentence. And my quick thinking was to say nothing for a few seconds and then pick up as if nothing happened.
Oh, like
just keep
like the radio dropped out for a second.
That's what happened, right. If you didn't hear the name, it's because your radio dropped out.
And you'd be like, I said that's good, too.
That was my strategy.
Your microphone wire fell out as you were saying the name?
Yeah. But I totally forgot his name, and I just left a blank. And
you could have also, like, just mouthed it and then pretended like there was no sound. Like,
I couldn't mouth it because I didn't even know what to mouth. I had no chance. Anyway.
That's funny.
So it's happened to all of us, Tony. That is a terrifying feeling.
Dan says, Tony, you didn't say, my man. Can you?
coming on is our interview is my man from the Padre bullpen.
See, that would have been a dead giveaway that I didn't know his name at that point. I was just trying to buy time. I knew it. I just couldn't remember it at the time.
That's funny.
I like that you're tattled on yourself. That's good.
I feel like that's the best form of
I agree.
Of keeping yourself in line.
That's how I come up with...
You got to be able to make fun of yourself sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's how we come up with material for this show.
I mean, I was pretty hard on myself during the broadcast. I called Manny's homer 19th, and it was his 20th. It was a great call until I decided to say it was homer number 19.
Yeah, that's not...
That one ate me up for the rest of the night.
That still bugs you, though. I know it bugs you.
Yeah,
it
when does. I went home, I was like, man, I could have sworn that was Manny's 20th.
Yes, I was upset by it, too.
I was. Maybe I should go check the computer because this is really... Oh, my goodness, it was his 20th.
This idiot over here can't get his numbers together.
What a mistake.
I have nobody who should be talking about, you know, getting things right, so I never get things right.
Yesterday on the program, and I was going to get to some Mike Schilt stuff, but with Ben and Woods, but with all due respect to Ben and Woods, they always ask great questions. I didn't think there's really a whole lot here. If you want to hear the interview, you can always go back to 97.3 The Fan SD and click on the morning show, and you will find the entire interview. You'll hear everything that Mike Schilt said. Also, earlier today, Annie and Elston had Landon Donovan on from the Wave, the new soccer coach.
So he got Dowsey on his first victory. He got
a win. Good for him.
Got the ice bath.
So you can hear that interview with Annie Nelson also at our webpage, 97.3thefan.sd, and check out that. You can always download the Odyssey app and find all this stuff. But I wanted to share with you, Tony, while I had a minute. You weren't with us yesterday when I broke out. And Scraby, you know, Scraby thinks that I'm all about myself and promoting myself. And, you know, it's partly true. All right? We're all, because all of us are about promoting ourselves.
Hello, everybody. I am here.
That's right.
It's me. Petco Park. That's Rejoice.
Right. That's right. So yesterday, you know, if you want to believe it, you're going to believe it anyway, so I might as well just give it to you. But yesterday, I came up with what I feel to be brilliant. The magnificent seven reasons why 2024 may be the Padres' year. So I wanted to share them with you, Tony.
Okay.
Because you probably didn't get a chance to hear them yesterday. And get some of your thoughts. And this is a mostly serious list of seven reasons why I think this could be our year. And I'm talking about not just to get into the playoffs, but to, you know, do something. And maybe think about a parade at the end of it all. Number one, and this has just had to be in there, they're going to make the postseason. And I know that they lost the last two, but they're still a 96% choice to make the playoffs.
Dang, they lost the last two? God, what bums. Man.
I know.
Seriously, first time since July 10th and 12th.
Yeah. No, since...
I looked it up.
Well, no, they lost on the 14th before the All-Star break and the 19th
right. First time on consecutive
break.
Games.
I was doing...
Back-to-back days.
I know what you were doing, Scraby, but you were wrong. Anyway, so they're going to make the postseason. They should get to 90 wins. And 90, what are you doing this? Oh, you're giving me a little music for this?
Yeah,
thank you.
A little music.
If they get to 90, Tony, that would give them the same number of wins Texas had last season. So that's just kind of a lead-in to the rest of the list. Okay. Number two, they've had the magic this year. They have 32 come-from-behind wins. They are 7-1 in extra inning games. They have had the ability to win close, dramatic games. And I think in every championship season, teams kind of show that ability. So I think that's something that this team has, and I hope that that is going to serve them well moving forward. Anytime you want to jump in, you're welcome to.
I like the magic. I think I agree with that. They got something special going. I don't know exactly, you know, how you bottle that up and
exactly,
you know, quantify it.
I don't either.
But they definitely got something magical going.
They have. All right, number three on the Magnificent Seven. I know you're going to agree with this one. They hit the ball. And what we mean by that is they have the fewest strikeouts in baseball, and their pitchers have struck out the second most. So when they get to the postseason where it's hard to hit home runs because you're facing top-notch pitching, hopefully the Padres are going to be putting the ball in play a lot more than their opponents. The statistics tell us that'll be the case. And hopefully that'll give them a better chance to score some runs and win some of those playoff games, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the beauty about their offense is that it travels. It doesn't discriminate. Doesn't need to be a certain kind of pitcher. It's really effective against good, bad, mediocre. It doesn't really matter. And it's not dependent on one thing offensively. It's not as though they only hit homers. It's not as though as they can't hit homers and have to rely solely on small ball. They get it any way you really want it.
All right, that was number three. And number four, the Magnificent Seven, they win on the road. And they don't just win on the road. Their 37-26 record on the road is, by a large margin,
yes,
the best in the National League. Yep. There's no one even close. And I also add this in because if they go in as a wild card, they're going to have to eventually win on the road. But they have shown the ability to do that all year. I don't think there's any ballpark they're going to go into that they should be too concerned about.
Yeah, I think there's only a couple that they got a losing record in. I mean, Philly, New York.
Yeah, everywhere else.
That's pretty much it.
That's right. Everywhere else they won. Number five. And this is already started.
I guess Colorado, if you want to count.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Well, I'm getting to that, actually. Number five on my list of Magnificent Seven reasons why this could be the year. And this already started. They're going to get better. And when I wrote this, they hadn't gotten Darvish back yet, but they've got him now. But they're still going to get even better than that because Wandy Peralta's going to come back, Ha-Seong Kim's going to come back, and biggest of all, Fernando's coming back. And that, there's no team in baseball that's going to get that kind of a jolt to their roster heading into the month of September to get Fernando back. So
I agree.
All right. Number six is a little levity in the countdown. Number six reason why this is the Padres' year, because the Rockies aren't going to make the playoffs.
They're out. They've
They're
been
out.
Eliminated.
They can't get in, yeah. So you don't have to worry about losing to them. And then back to finish it up, the number seven reason, and it comes full circle, the magnificent seven reasons why the Padres, this is their year, because of the magnificent seven. And that's what I'm calling the guys in this bullpen right now, Tony. The deepest, I think, of a collection of reliable arms in baseball. It's not just Suarez, Scott, and Adam. But you add to that Morejon, you add to that Estrada. I think Hoeing has become a really reliable guy. And I think, to a certain extent, you can throw Matsui in there as a seventh guy. And if you don't want to put him, maybe Peralta. But, I mean, Mike Schilt's options in that bullpen should put them in a good position to have a chance to win in the postseason, I would think.
Yeah, he's got good options. He's got multiple choices to go with at different times.
He's got lefty, righty. He's got four and four. I mean, you look at the game last night. Just for example, if that was a playoff game, you know, with all due respect, Gilbreth would not have pitched the ninth inning. It would have been, you know, one of these guys that would have pitched the ninth inning and might have got Gilbreth?
Oh, you mean Gillespie? Gilbreth.
Well, I'm sorry. Yes, Gillespie pitched the ninth inning. Sorry, my bad. It's all right.
It's all good.
He's not on the show. He's not on the show today. I don't need to know his name.
It's fine. I think we actually all knew who you were talking about.
Yes, yeah, Gillespie.
That's because he's part of the Rockies.
Yes, he's a Rocky guy. He's a gas can in the Rockies bullpen, Gilbert is. But anyway, I'm saying, Gillespie wouldn't have pitched the ninth. It would have been somebody different. Probably would have been still a 3-1 game going to the bottom of the ninth. That's the kind of playoff baseball you're going to see. Anyway, I just, you know, I'm not ready to crown them world champs because that would be ridiculous at this point. But they really have a lot of things that give you the feeling that this could happen, Tony. And I hope I'm right.
I think everybody listening is hoping you're right.
including
me and Scrape. So, you know, there's one ingredient that you just can't count on and you need it. It's luck. You need a little bit of that
as well.
You do. And so we'll see how it goes.
All right. We're at the top of the first hour of the program. Still ahead, Daily Gambit. I got to tell you, the countdown is a great one today. A little chicken soup for the soul. It's going to put everybody in a good mood.
Like
Countdown's
it.
A little later. Also, Yu Darvish's press conference. He's returning to the Padres. We'll have that for you in a little while. Stick around, Gwynn and Chris, where you need to be on a Friday afternoon, 97.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.